Again, page 835, Matthew 27:51. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. May God bless the reading of His holy word.
Thank you so much, Junior. I want to ask you something. I don't want to take time to do this at the end of the sermon because I think it takes away from what we've preached on. But you, I hope, received an insert today. Everybody got one? Is anyone hadn't got one? Just let one of the ushers know. They'll get you one. This is our invitation hymn for today. We're going to sing it with a praise team that Kevin will play, and we're going to sing with it. It's not going to, we listen, we're going to sing. And this is just exactly the way it's recorded. So be sure you've got one of these, and that will be our invitation hymn. And if there's someone that should come forward needing prayer or whatever, I'll ask if I'm going to give Rhonda plenty of notice, 1 second notice, that if Rhonda will come up and lead your own in this, if we have some people here at the altar. Very easy song, Amazing Grace. It's just like the song, except the chorus that when he's talking about my chains are gone, I've been set free. That is such a beautiful song. Well, I promise myself as I grow older and I'm getting closer to retirement and slowing down, that I wanted to just preach on some things that I've never preached on before. One was setting his face toward Jerusalem. I may have preached on it before, but that verse has meant a lot to me since I've grown older. Today is yet another verse. This happened during the crucifixion, but it's a very important verse, a very important passage about the curtain being torn. And it's this really, my friends, this is just a great part of what salvation has brought us. And I call it a great object lesson. An object lesson is what we teach the kids. I'll be completely honest with you. I've had more comments from adults learning from object lessons even than the children. And that's why I love object lessons. Almighty God has never given a better object lesson than at the crucifixion, the veil being torn in the temple. What a great object lesson with absolutely no words about it. It just happened. So that's what we're talking about, and it's important. Matthew mentions it. Mark mentions it. Luke mentions it. And I don't think any thoughtful Jewish person could miss the meaning of what this was about. And that's what I want to talk about for a few minutes this morning. First of all, what happened when the veil was torn apart or the curtain was torn apart in the temple? There was a barrier removed. Now, the Gospels of Matthew and Mark tell us at the death of Christ, there were miraculous signs that happened. The very moment that our Lord's lips went silent and He breathed His last breath, God began to use supernatural things happening to catch our attention. One is that the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. That's very important. That means coming down from God through Christ, the veil was torn. And then we have some other things that happened. There was the earthquake, the rending of the rocky cliffs. Remember, at that time, a lot of people forget this, that many tombs were open and there was a resurrection of many saints near the holy city. That happened. That's recorded for us. And although the events have a certain order, I like Matthew's version, which says there's the rending or tearing of the veil, the earthquake, the rending of the rocks, the tombs opening up, raising the dead saints, and happening all simultaneously the moment that Jesus died. I believe that's the way it happened, simultaneously. Now, it may not have been, but I just believe all those things happened at that one time. And gracious me, what a powerful, powerful message from God with these things happening. Now, when the temple veil was torn, we have a barrier removed. I'm sorry to say, but the temple, just about everything about the temple, told the Jewish people to stay away from it. Their worship house and about everything about it said, stay away. It's only for certain people. There were courts that were set aside for the women and the Gentiles. There was a brazen altar on which sacrifices could be made. There were steps leading up to the temple itself. Inside the temple, there were two rooms, two, the holy place and the most holy place, or it's sometimes called the Holy of Holies. Now, only the priest could enter the holy place, and only in a certain way at certain times to do certain functions. No one ever just hung around the holy place. You didn't do that. You came to do God's business, and then you left. You didn't stay there. It's not a place for leisure. Important things were being done there, performed by men who were set apart by God. But there was a place even more special than the holy place, and it was called the Holy of Holies. The very center of Jewish worship took place in that small area. Now, if you'll read Leviticus 16, you'll find the details pointed out of what happened there. Only one man could enter that room. That would be the high priest. He could enter it one day a year, the Day of Atonement. He must wear special garments to go in that room. He must bring with him the blood of a goat to go in that room. He must sprinkle the blood on the golden mercy seat that was actually the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, which contained a copy of the Ten Commandments. If anyone else besides the high priest went into that place or entered it, he would be struck down. If the high priest entered it, other than the Day of Atonement, he would be struck down. If he came without the blood of a goat, he would be struck down. So don't you see? It's just like it's saying to all the Jewish people, hey, this is special and you're really not welcome here. This is just for very special occasions. I like what Ray Pritchard says about this. It's like this whole temple is just making a loud scream. Stay away! Stay away! Do not come here. You're not qualified to come here on your own. It's just like the temple being a giant roadblock, making sure that no one could come into God's presence uninvited. Now, if the Jews were tempted to forget about those prohibitions, if they decided to take matters into their own hands, God had ordered that a thick curtain be hung between the holy place and the most holy place. Here's where I've been fooled throughout the years. We did a study of the temple at one point in my seminary training, but I had either didn't hear this or I had forgotten it. Now, I think of the curtain in the holy place. If I'm just thinking, what is that? I think of something like a curtain in your home. A curtain in your home. Never could I have been more wrong than thinking that. It is nothing like that. Nothing like the drapery you have. The curtain in the temple is described in Exodus 26:31. It is a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and finely twisted linen with cherubim worked into it by a skilled craftsman. Now listen to this. This is what blows my mind. It was 60 feet long, 20 feet wide, woven in the thickness of a man's hand, requiring, listen to this, it required 300 men to lift it. 300 men to lift it. Such a curtain could never be torn by the hands of man. Only God, in a miracle, could tear a curtain like that. That's why Matthew tells us the curtain was torn from top to bottom, signifying only God could have done that, the work of the Almighty God. Now, we read in 1 Kings 6:2, the house that King Solomon built for the Lord was 60 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Now, a cubit is about 18 inches, about 18 inches. So that gives you an idea of just how big this was. As I said, it was 30 cubits high. We're told, though, later that Herod increased the height to 40 cubits, according to the writings of Josephus, who was a great historian of the first century. The uncertainty as to the exact measurement of a cubit gives us some kind of unknown with it, but most believe it to be 18 inches. Now, there are some that believe it's more. There are some that believe it's less. But believe me, it was something so large that it was nearly 60 feet high. He also told us that it was 4 inches thick, about the width of a man's hand. And that, listen to this, Josephus wrote this, that horses tied to each side could not pull that veil apart. Can you imagine that? Horses tied to each side could not even pull this veil apart. So when Jesus died, when he was crucified, we have a barrier removed. That curtain, that huge piece of beauty that was there to keep everyone out, was suddenly torn from top to bottom, indicating that it was no longer closed off to everyone, but it was open. Let me call that a road opened. The most holy place was opened by the shedding of the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened through that curtain, and that was through the body of Christ being crucified. We have, that means that speaks of privileges, we have, and by the way, privileges according to the dictionary means we have advantages, an opportunity to do something special we've never been able to do. We have now the ability, the Christian people, and the Christians have certain advantages, we have the advantage to go into the Holy of Holies. In other words, we can go directly into the presence of God. And Hebrews 10:19 is a verse that will tell you that. In the eyes of God, because of the blood of Christ shed on Calvary, I have access into the very throne room of heaven. That's what Hebrews 10 says. It means that Jesus opened a way through that curtain by his death on the cross. He tore down that wall that stood between God and us. Now listen what this means, folks. This is something. This is really powerful. This is a story you don't hear often at Easter. We have the ability and the access to go directly to God anytime, as long as we go in the name of Jesus, claiming the blood of Jesus as the only ground of admission. But by receiving Christ as our Savior and all that comes with it, we have access to the very throne of God. Let me tell you what that means. It means you're a personal friend of God. You know that? You are a personal friend to God. It means you are a member of God's own family. You are a citizen of heaven. That gives you access, that gives you privilege to every blood-bought child of God. This is God's gift to us when we trust in His Son. We have the ability to have as an audience Almighty God. Anytime, anywhere, as often as we like, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to every child of God. That is rights greater than the world's most important people. We think about people that are very important, the Queen of England maybe, and Donald Trump, and all these sports stars, and you know, they can pick up the phone and get a hotel or go to the best place in the world to eat or wherever. But my friends, this don't touch what you and I have. We have the privilege to go into the holiest of holies. And it don't get better than that. The barrier is removed. The road is open. And the tearing of the curtain means that we have the hope of eternal life granted to us. Here we go. Hebrews 6, 19 and 20. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He's become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. You and me, we have that privilege, like an anchor holding on. Now, an anchor is very important for a ship. If an anchor is let out in a ship and it gets down into sand, it's not going to hold that ship when the wind and storms come. That ship's going to move and maybe even capsize. But this is when that anchor is firmly planted and that ship can't move. We have an anchor for the soul. Open access to Almighty God. And it cannot be anything greater than that or stronger than that. I cannot help but think of that song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I'll wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Are you here this morning thinking of yourself as a failure? Or that you're weak? Or that you just haven't got out of life what you wanted to? Maybe we're like the man that prayed in Mark 9:24, "Oh Lord, help me, I believe, but help my unbelief." It's like deep down inside, you know, we know there's a God. We know there's a Christ. We believe that. And we know we love him as imperfectly as we do. But sometimes we look in the mirror and see ourselves and see ourselves as we really are and think, how could he love me? Well, I want to tell you, he loves you. He would have never went on that cross if he didn't love you. God would have never sent his son if he didn't love you. And you may have failed in 1,000 places, but God loves you no matter what. And if you meditate on those things, you think of all the privileges that Christians have. And I think that is the deeper meaning of the tearing of the curtain. The law that had condemned us is no longer there. It's been torn away, having been put to death in the death of Christ. When Jesus died, that old law died with him. So there's now no condemnation to anyone who believes in Christ. The road to heaven is open to anyone, anywhere, any place. The road is open through the blood of Christ that you can have. And you can know that you have eternal life when you have Jesus Christ into your life. So my friends, let me tell you today as we summarize this. We have unlimited access at all hours to our Heavenly Father. I got to tell you very quickly something that makes me so mad. Have you ever got a call from somebody and said, "Would you please call this number?" And you call them, and by gracious, those computers do all. God forgive me, I can't stand a computer-generated phone call or a computer-answered phone call. I'm sorry, I don't like that. I think it's awful, and I just sometimes want to, I shouldn't say this, spit on the computer. You know, it'll say, if you want to talk to so-and-so, press 1. If you want to talk to so-and-so, press 2. If you've got a complaint to make, press 278-4433-998-76-44389. And if you would just wait a moment, somebody will take your call in the order that it's received. Oh, I hate that. When they say in the order that it's received, I might be number 919. And nothing makes me madder than that sorry music they play while you're waiting. It's music for a funeral home, you know? And they'll get some woman or man on there that they can't sing. That they're awful. The worst I've ever heard. They'll never make American Idol. And they sit on there, and you just wait and wait and wait. And finally, this pleasant voice comes down and says, "Hello, this is Mrs. Smith. I'll be more than glad to help you. What is your problem today, sir? By the way, let me remind you that this is being recorded every second of it, so we can turn it against you if we have to. So please know that this is being recorded. I may have to have my supervisor talk to you in a minute, but don't worry, we'll have a good conversation. Now tell me, what is your problem? I done forgot it. I can't remember what my problem was." It ain't like that with Christ. You ask for the Lord, you go to Him in prayer, and He is there. No sorry music, no computers. He is right there waiting for you to give you what? Grace. Grace, which helps you to have that grace in your life to save you and get you to heaven. And it's not get your life in order, and we'll talk about forgiveness. Rather, it is bring me your messed up past, your messed up life. Let me forgive you, and let's work on putting your life back together again. That's access to God's forgiveness. And you have access to God's power. Jude 1:24, "And now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from stumbling and who will bring you into a glorious presence, innocent of sin and with great joy." And grace enables you to have power. And it means God can do something great out of your life if you will let Him. And you have the very access into God's place, which will one day be home for us. I like to think of that beautiful passage, John 14, "And if I'm going away to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you, that where I am, there you may be also." Access to God. That's why that temple veil, that temple huge curtain was torn, so that we would have access to God. No longer a certain day or just a certain time, or just certain people, but everyone that loves the Lord. So fear not. Don't let your sin keep you away. God has opened the door to heaven. If you believe that, I ask you to come to this altar today to receive Him as your Lord and Savior, or to thank Him for doing that for us. For this is the message of Easter. He's opened up heaven for us, the very Holy of Holies. And it shows you what a loving heart that Jesus Christ has. So we're going to sing the hymn. Get your papers out. Sing along with the praise team. It's a very easy song, and you'll be able to pick it up very quickly. It's just "Amazing Grace." And then I think you've heard it sung enough to know how it goes. "When my chains are gone, I've been set free." This is our invitation hymn. I love it this way. It gives you the old song and a new chorus that tells us what "Amazing Grace" is all about. The altar is open as we ask you to stand.